John chapter 6. I say, if you don't like the song leader shouting amen, you come up and lead singing. How about that? John chapter 6. As you're turning there, there's a little song I was singing on the way to church today, and it was an old song by the name of a guy named Ricky Skaggs. He's a relative of mine. My granny's cousin. And he sang a song like this, and I'm not going to sing it. I thought about singing it in the old regular Baptist way. Without no music, we used to sing stuff like this, but I'm not no good at it. So I'm just going to tell it to you. It says, in seasons of grief, to my Lord I'll repair. When my heart is overwhelmed with sorrow and care, to the ends of the earth, to my God I will fly. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When Satan the tempter comes in with a flood to drown my poor soul from its fountain of good, I will cling to my Savior who humbly did die. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Higher than I, higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where are we at? John 6, I told you to go there. Look at verse 25. John 6. We'll start in verse 25. Scripture says this. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him have God the Father sealed. Let's bow to pray. Father, thank you so much for your precious word. And God, thank you for the rock that is higher than I. And that we can build upon that foundation our gold, silver, and precious stone. And God, I thank you for Jesus. It's the name above all names. Thank you for the power in the name. God, thank you for eternal salvation. Thank you that we can be saved and have heaven as our home. And God, we need you now as we come to preaching time, where we get into the Word of God and proclaim it. And I pray that you give wisdom. I pray you give understanding. I pray you give unction and power in your presence in this place. It's vain. It's futile, Lord, if we come and don't meet with you today. So I know there's a longing to hear your voice in the ears of your people. So I pray that you'd anoint your servant. I need you, God. You know that. I'm weak. I cannot do this. And as I stand behind this sacred desk, this pulpit, that you'd just anoint me and give me unction and power and liberty to preach. God, I pray for a precious soul in this room that doesn't truly know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Oh, God, would you touch them? Would you move them? And those that have accepted him, God, would you move us and touch us? We need a touch from you today. And so, God, we give this time to you. We pray that you would just have your will and way. We love you. We thank you. We pray all this in the precious and awesome and powerful name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. You can be seated. Thank you. For standing, the fight for fullness. The fight for fullness. We'll get to kind of the title with that, but there's a couple things I just want to, as an introduction, to get us into this. And there's a lot to this, as there is in a lot of my messages. I just got so much that I kind of spew it out sometimes, and you're all just wind up trying to catch it. But I just want to say this: we want to be full. If you go to a restaurant and you sit down to eat, and it doesn't fill you up, what's the point, right? Me and my wife went to this restaurant, and someone gave us a gift card. It's the only one. It's one of those ones that you don't want to leave a tip on, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow. But everything on the menu wasn't below $50. Let's just say that right there. And it's the only reason we went. And I said, I want the salmon with the asparagus. And they brought me out a piece of salmon that big with three stalks of asparagus. I counted it. Three stalks of asparagus. I said, what's the, I don't got my dog with me. I don't know what, you know, I need. I mean, you, porterhouse, can I get in that witness right there? Amen. And all those things, you want to be full. If you sit down to a restaurant, you sit down to meet, your desire is to be full. There ain't no sense in you sitting down and eating if you're not getting full. If you sit down for supper and you leave hungry, it's your fault. I tell my kids, don't worry about what's going on right now. Some people gobble it down and go on. The others want to go. It's your fault if you don't get full. Don't come back 15 minutes later and want more. Now, my kids eat second and third supper, too, so they get full then, too. But don't come back full. And someone, give me a witness right here, dessert, you want to be full, right? That's the second stomach. And ain't the first stomach that you just ate. It's the other one. And you say, what's the sense to eat it? You want to be full. We have a desire. It's why we do what we do in life is we have a desire to be full or fulfilled or be satisfied. You get a job. Why do you get a job? You want to achieve the American dream. You own a house, family, all those things. You get a husband. You get a wife because husbands get wives and wives get husbands. I'll preach that a little bit, but I'll get off that. But you do that because there is a desire. There's a fulfillment. And dealing with teenagers, I tell them, I'm like, look, it is a desire in you to want a husband, to want a wife. That is, there's nothing wrong with that desire and that want. Just don't pop that bubble and stay within the boundaries of God. But there's something missing. You sit down, if you're not hungry, you're going to sit down and eat. Or something, I don't know. But you don't sit down and eat. There's something missing. You're like, this thing's empty. I need to fill it. There's something not fulfilled or unfulfilled or unsatisfied, unmet in your life. We have a desire to be full. Those that don't know God, when they're not full or when they're trying to be satisfied, say things like this, and this came to my mind, you need to find yourself. Y'all have heard that before? Go find yourself. Go hum in a cave for a couple of days. I don't know what they do, but go find yourself. And I say that's dangerous because what happens is when they seek for themselves and they find themselves, they realize that what they found is something wretched and miserable and poor. And they say, this isn't at all what I thought, or it isn't at all what they told me I would find when I find myself. And they still leave themselves empty. They still leave themselves wanting. They say, well, I found myself, but there was nothing there. It's dangerous. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 3 says that in times past, we fulfilled the desires of our flesh and of our mind. Before we knew God, we should fulfill the desires of our flesh and our mind. But now that we're saved, we have a different fulfillment. We have a different desire. There's no fulfillment within ourselves. And today you may be thinking, I'm going to find it myself. You won't find it. You'll be hopeless. You'll be helpless. I mean, if anybody should know within themselves, find themselves, shouldn't it be the Hollywood, the rich and the famous? But yet we see them no hope without God in the world. So there's a fight for fullness. There's a search for satisfaction. There's a folly in fulfillment as we try to fill our lives up because everyone wants to be satisfied. Not just in I go to supper, I want to be full, but in your everyday, there's a fulfillment, there's a satisfaction. You say, there's something I need to accomplish. There's something missing in me, and that might be you. And you may be sitting in, oh, that's me. That's exactly, I don't know what that is. And we see it in our text, but what we can learn and what I like to do is see what they did wrong. If they're seeking after and they're searching after fulfillment, what did they do wrong that they did not get fulfilled? Because I just want you to see this. Go to our text. Go to chapter 6. And look, verse number 25. And I'll read this, and then we'll back up just a little bit. It says, then when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou? Jesus answered, said unto them, watch, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were, what's it say there? Filled. You see, there was a fulfillment there. Back up to verse number, I believe it's 14. No, not 14. Verse 12. And I'll give you this context. Verse 12, John 6:12 says, when they were filled. You see, there was a fulfilling there. But watch this. And if you don't know the context, Jesus was preaching, and they said, hey, we're hungry. Or he said, feed them. I don't want to send them away hungry, lest they faint away. So they said, well, we ain't got much. We just got a few fishes and a loaf of bread. And he said, go ahead and feed them. And there was this miraculous miracle that God fed 5,000 people with just a little bit of food. And it said, at the end of it, y'all getting this? At the end of it, it says they were filled. They got filled up. I said, that's awesome. And then later on, he said, well, yeah, you ate of the loaves and you were filled. But there was a problem with this because were they really filled? And here's what I've seen in just three things I want you to see by way of introduction. I want you to see that the searching, they were searching with the wrong motive. They were searching with the wrong motive when they came to Jesus. Because though it says they were filled, in the end, as we will see, they weren't really filled. I mean, they got their bellies full, but their satisfaction wasn't lasting. Because I can eat a steak tonight, but tomorrow I'm still be hungry. I can take a drink now, but I'm going to be thirsty later. And so there was something missing there. And he said, yeah, you were filled, but you were just filled. They were searching with the wrong motive. Look at verse 25. I want to show you this. They were searching with the wrong motive. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence comest hither? Now, here's the thought, and you can parallel these passages in Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6. We'll return there in just a second. But these are the same passages. And what happened is they fed to 5,000. Y'all still with me? Say amen. All right, there you go. They fed to 5,000. And Jesus, he said, he put the disciples in a boat to go across the sea, and he went up in a mountain to pray. Went up in a mountain to pray. And it said he tarried there all night and prayed. And then the fourth watch of the night, he come walking across the sea. And this is where Peter walked on the water to come to Jesus. You can read it. You can parallel those passages. And they were frightened. They were scared. They're like, there's Jesus. What is the spirit? And they're like, no, it's just me. And he got in there, and he calmed the wind. And it said when he calmed the wind, the disciples were like, whoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Wow, he calmed the wind. Even though he had seen all the miracles and all that. We'll get to that in a second. I'm going to hit it myself. But then they come to this shore, and they're on this other shore. Well, while they're doing all that, the people he just fed, y'all following me still? Okay. The people he just fed, they were sleeping. And they woke up, and they said, where's Jesus? And they didn't see his disciples either, and they said, oh, he must have went on the other side. And they got in a boat, and they paddled over, and they got on shore, and that's when they asked, verse 25, whence camest thou hither? In other words, how long you been here? Did we miss anything? They said, you just got in feeding us, and we seen this, and we've been gone on how long? Did we miss anything? Well, you missed a lot, because you fell asleep, and he was praying, all that stuff. But they're like, did we miss anything? And they were, now watch this. Hey, watch. They were searching for Jesus. And if I said, if you're searching for Jesus, that would be a good thing, right? But if you search with the wrong motives, you're still wrong. You see, they were searching for him, but they weren't searching for him the way they should have been searching for him. They had a different agenda, in other words. It's good to search for him, but they weren't necessarily searching for him. They were searching for what he did. Their motives, their agenda was wrong, and Jesus called them out for it. Look at verse number 26. Watch it. Jesus answered and said unto them, look what he said, verily, verily. Now, in some translations, they translate that truly, truly, but the word actually means amen, amen. It means, watch this, firm and trustworthy. He's saying to them, what I'm about to tell you, now watch this, he tells them, I just read it, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me. He's about to tell them what he knows about them that they haven't said to him. So he's like, I want to just tell you this right now. What I'm about to say to you is firm, it's trustworthy, you can take it to the bank. And I'm about to tell you something about yourself you didn't know I knew. And he said, you're seeking me with the wrong, because you seek me not because you ate, watch, not because you saw the miracles, but because you didn't eat of the loaves. You have the wrong motives while you're seeking me. And watch this. Jesus was telling them this was true and reliable, and he said, I'm telling you, it's about you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says this, and ye shall seek me. Now listen to it now. I've got to quote it. You shall seek me, watch, and find me. So not only are you going to seek him, you're going to find him. Watch. When you shall search for me with all your heart. I believe I'll say that again. You shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You see, there can't be this halfway stuff. And these people, they were thrilled. They were like, man, this is awesome. He fed us all this stuff. But they had the wrong motivation. And Jesus even said, you have the wrong motivation. You're not seeking me the right way. But I'm seeking you. It's not the right way. It's not the right. Instead of them seeking him for who he was, they were seeking him according to the flesh. What you fed me was good. And just by the way, in case we don't know, and in case we're wondering, if we try to seek Jesus for fleshly things, that's never what he's here to fulfill. And we've got this warped sense of Christianity in 2022 that somehow Jesus is about the flesh. Jesus said you need to crucify that thing. That I'm not being the flesh. We need to put it away. That we think that somehow that this is about us exalting our flesh or doing things to our flesh or doing things that please our flesh. Jesus said, no, that's the wrong motivation why you're searching me. But I need healing. I get it, but that's not why you should search him. Oh, but man, my life's a wreck. I get it, but that's of the flesh. Jesus said, I'm more interested in what the spiritual things are than what the fleshly things are. See, they were searching him. The problem or the error, they were searching him with the wrong motive. Number two, they were satisfied with the wrong meat. They were satisfied with the wrong meat. Oh, that's good. Verse 26, look what it says. He said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. They, being led or motivated by the flesh will cause our flesh, look at this now, listen to me, will cause our flesh to want to be fulfilled and satisfied in the presence of God. I'll say it again just in case you didn't get that. Being led or motivated by the flesh will cause our flesh to want to be fulfilled and satisfied in the presence of God. That we say, I want this, and this is what I always remember. Teenagers, and back in the old building, there was a concert. They didn't want to listen to it. Went back in the other room. I went back, tried to witness to them. They weren't saved. I was trying, hey, you need to get saved. You're going to die and go to hell. You need to get saved. And they said, if that chair floats, true story, if that chair floats, this is absolutely a true story, I'll believe on them. I said, okay, and the chair started to float. No, it didn't. I'm just joking. But anyway, I said, if that chair floats, I'm just making sure y'all still wait. that chair floats, I'll believe. That's what they told me. I said, no, you won't. Yeah, well, I believe. I know you won't. I said this to him. Because then, when he tells you to get baptized, you're going to need to see something else. And then when he tells you to refrain from sin, you're going to say, well, I need to see something else. I said, you need to trust him by faith. That's the way you're going to do it. You ain't going to say, and this is what their mind is, and their mindset is. This is what they did wrong. This is what we'll do wrong. Watch this. Not only will they search him with the wrong motivation, but we say, well, if I'm going to search after God according to my flesh, that he may do something for my flesh, then we get confused thinking God's there to feed our flesh. He's not there to feed our flesh. Our flesh is evil and it's wicked. It'll turn you astray. It'll turn me astray. Can I get a witness right there? And so John chapter number 4, we see some of this. John chapter number 4, just flip over a page. Let me show you this. John chapter number 4, we got another woman. You know this story, the woman at the well. And Jesus is, usually you're supposed to mute your mic when you drink like that, but I didn't, all right. So Jesus, he said, he's wearied with his journey. He's set at the well. He sees this woman. You all know that. But look at verse 14. And this is what Jesus tells her. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Watch what the woman says. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's like, praise God, give me that stuff right there. A fountain of water, and I never have to thirst again and have to come to this well again. That would be fantastic. But you know what? She did what we do most of the time. She said, that's fleshly. It had nothing to do with the flesh. She thought, oh, no, no. That flesh and being thirsty, I want that to subside. It ain't going to subside. If you get saved, have you been thirsty since after you got saved? Okay, come on now. You've been thirsty. I'm drinking water up here. I'm thirsty. Well, wait a minute. Did Jesus lie? No, he's talking about spiritual things. And what we do and what I do is we think somehow we come to God and God's going to cure our flesh. Our flesh is all going to get put off of us one day. And I said, praise God, it's going to. But this woman finally got it. Look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. Then the woman left her water pot. She left the thing that gave her the drink for her flesh. She said, I finally got it. Just as much as we got to finally get it. Because watch, the error is that we will not only search for the wrong motive, but we will be satisfied with the wrong meat. Jesus said, he ain't going to satisfy our hunger. We're going to get hungry again tomorrow as far as our physical flesh. What he's trying to get us to understand, and me and you, is that we are to be fed spiritually. He said, that's what you'll never thirst again. That satisfaction, that fulfillment, or that fullness, satisfied with the wrong meat. John chapter 6, verse 35. Watch what he says there. If you turn back there, I know I'm going quick. John chapter number 6. I was about to say y'all wouldn't make it to dinner on time, but I'm kind of preaching against that, so I better not do that. And John chapter number 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, watch this, after he tells them about this bread of life, I am the bread of life, he that cometh to me shall never hunger again. And we look at that and we think, okay, thirst and hunger, but see, if we're satisfied with the wrong meat, that's what their mistake was. The flesh isn't the goal. Does it feel good to be in the presence of God? Yeah, it does. Isn't it awesome? But you know, sometimes this, it doesn't feel good. Because when you get in front of a holy God, it shows you how unholy you are. And that don't feel very good. You say, well, I ain't never done that. You get in front of Isaiah said like this, woe unto me, I am a man of unclean lips. That when we get in front of a holy God, and yes, his presence is powerful, and yes, his presence is awesome, and yes, I want his presence in the church house. Yes, we want all that, but sometimes it don't feel good because we realize how wicked and awful and evil we are when we stand and see a holy God standing before us. Don't feel good. Well, man, I don't like that. I know the flesh don't like it, but it's necessary because we can't be satisfied with the wrong meat. Our purpose is that our flesh is fulfilled, but Jesus performed a miracle. Listen to this. Jesus performed a miracle for something they needed. We need food. Steak. Sorry about all you vegans out there. Steak, all right? We need it. Cut the rear of that cow off and flap it on it. I'm telling you, we need it. But he used something we need. Hey, he was trying to get to their spirit by something they need. He didn't want them to cling to that. They were satisfied. It's not about the flesh. Number three, not only were they searching with the wrong motive, not only were they satisfied with the wrong meat, but the error is they were serving because of the wrong miracle. Because of the wrong miracle. Look at verse 27. He says, labor not for the meat. That's working. He says, don't labor for the meat that perisheth. Don't work for it. Now, I know this. The Bible says that if a man don't work, he also shall not eat. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. I'll move on to the next one. We all get that. Don't be lazy. Come on now. I didn't even preach that. I'll turn there if you want me to. You want me to turn there? I won't. Okay. Don't be lazy. But ultimately, in the end, thank you, Bryce. I appreciate that. I seen that out of the corner of my eye. Don't do that again. No, I'm just joking. Man. But we labor, and we know that God's going to take care of us. If he'll take care of Elijah in a drought, and he'll help ravens feed him, he'll feed us, even though they're saying all these short. They'll do all that. But he said, don't labor for it. Don't work for it. Don't serve because of the wrong miracle. And watch verse 26. And this is what I was just kind of got me. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now watch this. Wasn't the miracle the loaves and the fishes? So I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean he didn't see the miracle? They saw the miracles. They ate the miracle. So what do you mean, Jesus, when you're saying, but they were serving because of the wrong one? They fed to 5,000. They were part of this miracle. It was miraculous. But what they did is they missed what the miracle was for. See, they like the miracle, and hey, we've seen miracles. We're in a building because it's a miracle. I mean, we've seen people saved. That's a miracle. Praise God, hallelujah, that's a miracle. And we've seen people healed, and we've seen, man, Brian Pennington with his hand moving all of a sudden. We have seen miracles, but what happens is we forget what the miracle was there for, and they forgot it. Hey, the disciples forgot it. Let me show you this. Mark chapter number 6. Go over to hold your place here. Go to Mark chapter 6. I'll prove it to you. Mark chapter number 6. Maybe just down a little bit. I'm popping in this thing. Bryce. I think that's it. Mute me on that monitor. Just do that. Mark chapter number 6. And this is the same parallel passage. You can go back and you can do this. I did research for you. I saved you a bunch of time. Okay? All right. So this is the same thing. And they just got done feeding 5,000. They're jumping in. They jumped in the boat. Jesus prayed all night, walking to him. He calmed the sea. And I watch this, verse 51. And he went up to them, chapter 6, verse 51. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now, this is the guys that have been hanging out with Jesus and seeing all the stuff he did. Now, watch this, verse 53, 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. What? Wait a minute, these are the disciples. They distributed it. He said, no, you're serving because of the wrong miracle. You forgot what the miracle was for. See, they thought the miracle was there to feed their flesh. They thought the miracle was there that God would fulfill something in their life or give them satisfaction in their flesh. And he said, no, you got it wrong. The miracle's not there to feed that. The miracle was there to show you who I am. And disciples, they even missed it because when he calmed the sea, they were like, wow, who is this guy? And we may have miracles happen in our life. Catch it now. We may have miracles happen in our life and things happen in our life that we're saying, praise God, hallelujah, but don't worship the miracle. Worship the one who gave the miracle because that's what the miracle's there for. They were serving because of the wrong miracle. The disciples didn't get it. They didn't get it. We were supposed to worship and serve the Creator more than the creature. And we're supposed to worship King Jesus. That's who we're supposed to worship. But man, look at all the stuff that's going on and all the great things. That's great. Hallelujah. Praise Him. But in the end, bow before Him, not the miracle, that if He does nothing else this side of heaven for you and me, we can still fall before Him and say, "You are worthy, O Lord, of all my praise, honor, and glory." But I want you to see this. Amongst all these errors of fulfillment and satisfaction, God wants to satisfy us. Because in this, I was getting lost in as I was reading it, and I thought, does He want to satisfy us? Does He want to fulfill us? There's a fight for fullness. Absolutely He does. Listen to this. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to kill and steal and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Fulfillment. An abundant life. I mean, I don't know, anybody woke up this morning and be like, "I hope this is a crappy day." I don't know if I'm allowed to say that at the moment. I just did, but I hope it's a bad day there, okay? I hope this is a bad day. No, what did you want? I want an abundant day. I want a great day. I don't want a bad day. I want a great day. And you say, "Well, it ain't been so great." And I seen you at the pulpit, and it really wasn't that great. But hey, we're here, and it's great. Jesus said, "I want you to have an abundant life." Psalm 145, verse 16 says, "Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." What a statement. He said, all you got to do is open your hand, and everything is satisfied that lives on the earth. Hallelujah. You think He wants to give us satisfaction? You think He wants to fulfill us? Psalm 81 verse 10 says, "Open thy mouth wide." Son of Israel, but watch, He said, "Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it." Says, as much as you can get your mouth open, He says, "I will make sure that's fulfilled." I say He wants to fulfill us. I think He wants to satisfy us. I think He wants to give a fulfillment in our life. I think He does. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." And He doesn't stop there. He says, "Because you shall be filled." He wants to fill us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Come on, you got to get this one. It says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Oh, mercy. You're going to see Dave McCracken here in a couple weeks. Hey, unto Him that is able. Unto Him that is able to do above all. It doesn't say unto Him that is able to do all. It doesn't say above all. It doesn't say abundantly above all. It says Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I would say that's fulfillment. Praise God, hallelujah, He wants to fulfill us. Our wires, though, have been crossed into thinking that our motivation, our need, our miracles, the things that we see, to think that some way this has to do with the flesh and how the fulfillment of the flesh goes. We're longing to be satisfied in our lives in this world, but we have come up short. We're longing for it. You and I want it, but we just can't seem to grab a hold of that thing. Can't remember. Early service, I'm trying to remember. Now I know what preachers like trying to cross over some of these things, but I can't tell you the times I've set when I first... Did I tell you about the, I can't remember if I said this or not. Did I tell you about the drug guy that I talked to? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. You beat my mind today, brother, okay? One of the first times that we were in our old building and we set up and preacher was not in the office. And I was in the, I can't remember what I was in the office for, but I was in there and a guy came in that had been on a 10-day crack binge. Hadn't been home. And he come in, and the preacher was not there. One of the scariest moments in the church ever is if you try to come, and I'm here, not the preacher. Not scary for me, scary for you, okay? Scary for you. He's a great pastor. We talked about it in Sunday school. But he came in 10 days and showered, crack addict. He come in, he said, I just don't know what to do. I'm broken. I said, I guess so. And he's like, what do I do? I had no idea. I said, well, let's read our Bibles. And I'll never forget that, because this is what, in my mind, I thought. You're trying to get satisfied. And you think it's something else besides this book right here. I know the drug addict, the alcoholic, those people that are searching after things. But yet, us Christians, there's some shows we shouldn't watch. And it brings us satisfaction, so we watch it anyway. Y'all hear me? Yeah. You say, oh, me or amen, one of the two. See, what happens is we start to lean into the world system and thinking, oh, it's back there. Galatians says it like this. He said, after you are known of God, or rather God knows you, why return you back to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you are bound from? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That we say, oh yes, Jesus, set me free and break my chains, but then we go back and try to be in bondage in those things again. We start to get our satisfaction back from the world. We think, this is what's going to satisfy me, when we know all along it will never satisfy us. God says this, I want to satisfy you, but it's got to be my way. Because I want you to realize this, we're coming up short, not only in those that don't know Christ, but in those that do. I remember hearing a preacher talk about how they used to have 2-3 week long revivals. They used to schedule 2 week revivals. I mean, if we did that, man, there'd be half people leave the church. Oh, you all know, you're like, I can't go to no 2 week. Why? Y'all ever been a part of something? And like camps, we used to go camp, go to camps, go journey with Jesus, or you just get alone with Jesus for a little while, and you come up out of that thing and you can feel your face shining. You can feel the presence of Almighty God on you, and you're like all fired up, and you're all feeling, you're like, man, this is good stuff right here. What is it? It's called satisfaction is what it's called. But it's not from the things that we have to go back and do again. Jesus said, I'll give it to you. I'll give you true satisfaction. You think feeling full after supper satisfaction? Wait till I get a hold of your soul. That's satisfaction right there. We've turned away from it. And so why are we empty? Why are we hopeless? Why we have no desire to meet God anymore? Watch this. John chapter 1. Oh, John chapter. Go over to John chapter 1 real quick. John chapter 1, verse number 16. I want you to see this, because what is this fullness? We look at fullness, and that word just stuck to me. I just couldn't get it off my mind for weeks. And we preached at the teen VBS and talking to him about building stuff up. And that phrase, fullness, what is the fullness of Christ? And it's just the satisfaction. We've chased after things so long and think, if I just get this one more thing, I'll be satisfied. If I just watch this one more thing, I'll be satisfied. If I get this person, I'll be satisfied. Y'all hearing me? And that's what our mindset. And God's like, no, open your mouth wide, I'll fill it. I'll satisfy the every living soul by opening my hand up. Look at John chapter 1, verse 16. And says, of his fullness, there it is, have all we received, and grace for grace. Now wait just a second, back up to verse number 12. He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So, this is what it means, that if you are born again, say amen. I love when people say amen to that. If you're born again, you received him. That's how you get saved. Well, wait a minute. It says that's, verse 12 says, as many as received him. But then in verse 16, look at it again. And of his fullness have all we received. Now, wait just a second. Not everybody's saved. So how is it that all have received it? Because this is what he's talking. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Of his fullness. Whose? God's fullness. Wait, God's fullness? Oh, yeah, it's God's fullness. That is who Jesus is. That is who is the fullness of God. Catch this. God has given unto humanity what will fill us up. He's given it to us all. You have to take it. You have to receive it. You have to reject the other things. You have to say, I'm not going to search with the wrong motive. I'm not going to be satisfied with the wrong meaning. I'm not going to serve because of the wrong miracles. I'm not going to do that stuff. You have to take it, and you have to receive it yourself, because he says, I'm giving it to the whole world, the fullness, the thing that will satisfy you and me to the utmost. I've given it to the world. But watch this. We cannot turn back. And he said he's given it to all humanity. But listen to this statement. Not only is he the one who fills, but we are filled with him. I'll say it again. Not only is he the one that fills, but we are filled with him. And that is the very definition of the fullness of God. Because he fills you up, but he doesn't fill you up with a bunch of stuff that you'll hunger again. He fills you up with him. And that's the fullness of God. So not only does he satisfy, he is what satisfies. We don't look at what he gives us, but we be content with the person that he has given. I'm telling you, he's wonderful today. He is full of grace. He makes us joyful. He is faithful, not deceitful. And his presence, the Bible says, is the fullness of joys. He's not forgetful. He's not fearful. He is careful to comfort you in the time you need him. He's cheerful. He's bountiful. And we ought to be grateful for who he is. His name is Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 said, it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. Chapter 2, verse 9 says, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I want to see God. We've seen God. He was Jesus Christ, and he's the fullness of God wrapped up in that body. He's for me and for you, and it's given to all. He says, I want to satisfy you. It's all we need. He's all we need. He won't leave us empty and wanting. He won't leave us dead on the street. He won't leave us thinking, is there more to this? He is more to this. How can we get it? We got to come his way. How can we get it? You ready? All that for this. Number one, go to Ephesians chapter number one. Ephesians chapter number one. Let me show you the formula for the satisfaction of Almighty God. You getting it so far? Amen. For the rest of you, I'll go back and preach this again. All right. So in Ephesians chapter number one. Ephesians 1, I want you to see this. Number one, you write this down just to remember it. How to be fulfilled, how to have the fullness of God, to be satisfied. Number one, be content in the church. Be content in the church. Chapter 1, look at verse number 22. It says, and these are verses that you pull out. You can do the study yourself. I just did all the work for you, and I'm wrapping it all up in a bow and putting it underneath your tree. Okay? Chapter 20, verse 1, verse 22, he says this, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, watch, which is the body, the fullness, the filling of him that filleth all in all. You got to be content in the church. Be content just to be satisfied, isn't it? But be a part of the church. You say, well, is the church important? I would say so. He died for it. Acts chapter number 20, verse 28 says, feed the flock of God, which God hath made you overseer of the overseer, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Be a part of the church. In the church age, we are supposed to be in the body. The church is here. Be a part of it. You've been saved, amen, baptized? Get baptized. You've been baptized, but you ain't part. Be a part of it. If you're missing out of this church and you're supposed to be a part of this church, the church is missing something. Don't ask me to say that again. I can't. But if you're supposed to be a part of it. I'm telling you, say, is there satisfaction in it? Yes. I've been a part of this church as it started. I love it. Even though there's people that don't love me in it. I love it. It's great. Oh, it's true. I said in Sunday school, Mike Wallace went to the preacher a few months after the church started. And he's like, does Will have to be a part of this church? That's what he told me. I ain't talked to him since. No, I'm just joking. He's one of my best friends. I don't care what he said about me. But you think, I'm a part of it. But be a part of it. You want to be satisfied. You want to be fulfilled. Get involved. Be a part of it. Yeah, it's great warming the pews. But man, nothing gets done for the gospel while you're warming the pews. Oh, come on. That'll preach. I'm trying to. But be a part of it. Get involved. Don't just be. Be a part of it. And it will satisfy you. It will satisfy you. Really? Yeah. Instead of wondering when it's going to get out, tell me to preach a little more. Yes, will. I will. Or the preacher's preaching and be like, oh, man, when's he going to get done? Be like, come on, give me some more. Turn another be a part of the church. Man, those babies need watched. I love the day that we realize that couples can be. Me and Katie go down there, and we've had 5 kids, and they've all out of diapers and all that. So I told Katie we were there, and there's a little baby crying, and we're holding it, and I'm like, I love this because we've been a part of it, and we know a crying baby doesn't frighten us. And I'm like, we can just sit here. I can hold it. It's crying. I'm just smiling at it. And it's going, ah! And I'm like, yeah, you're so sweet. You know, you can hear some of those babies crying. These people are like, oh, help me. And we're like, eh, it's all right. We love you. You know, yeah. We can be a part of it. However you want to be a part of it. There's plenty to do. I got more than I can do. You want to be content? Be content in the church. It'll bring satisfaction in your life. I didn't say it. God said it, which is his body. Verse 23, let me remind you of it again. Which is his body, the fullness of who? Him that filleth all in all. You won't be filled, but there's a fight. Right? But I don't want to be a part. I know. That's the fight you need to win and get involved. Be content in the church. Number two, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Just flip the page. Verse 19. This one is going to blow your mind. Watch this. I was reading this, and I read it over and over again because I just like to know, and just amazing. Verse 18, let's go to verse 18. It says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, watch, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now, as you read through that, because some of us know that, do you realize that makes absolutely no sense? You want to read it again? I'll read it slower. And to know, y'all see that word? The love of Christ, which passeth what? Okay, he just said that you may know something that you can't know, because it passes knowledge. Right? Is that not what it says right there? That you may know the love of Christ that passes the knowledge that you can know it. Praise God, hallelujah, I can't understand all of God. But I know this, I may not be able to tell it with you, the love of Christ. Listen to me, if you're not saved in this room, I love you. I'm going to tell you, God loves you. But I'm going to tell you this right now. You say, well, I just got to know more. You can't know more because I can't explain it to your mind, but praise God, I can tell you I got it. I can't explain it to you with my mind, but I can tell you I got it. And so can all you that got it. You say, well, explain it to me. I can't. I don't know why a sinless Son of God would die for a sinner like me. I don't know why he would leave the throne room of heaven and the streets of gold and getting all the glory and honor and praise of the universe to come down as a little baby and be born and live through this wicked old world and to die a horrible death on a cross and then be buried and rise again just so I can be redeemed. I can't explain it, but praise God, I know I got it. And he said this, and I ain't even the part I wanted to get at. What verse 7, he says, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now watch this. Not only do you be content in the church, number two, be content in his character. Who God is. Now, again, it passes knowledge. You can't get it all. But like I said earlier, as we come to a camp meeting, or we come to a journey with Jesus, or we come into a church service, and God starts to pull the strings of our heart, and he starts to fire us up, and we think, man, what is that? Again, that's satisfaction, because you're content with his character. Listen to me, talking to a couple teenage girls, and I'm just saying, hey, you know, this is God, and I want you to be saved. And they weren't getting, knew they were sinners. And they said, well, man, I just can't get this whole God and what he did and some Old Testament stuff. And I told them, I want you to stop right there. I'll answer any question you want. You can come with the right question, but I want you to understand something. The God of the Bible is the God of the Bible. He is who he is. You can't go back here and say, well, I don't like that part, but I like the love part. I don't like the judgment. Oh, I don't like the holiness, but I sure like him saving my soul with his holiness. You can't do that. He is who he is. I said, this is the danger. When we go back and start to say things like, I don't like, you start to make a God that isn't the God of the Bible. You start to make your own God, and that God can't save a single soul on the planet. It's got to be the God of the Bible. And if you're going to be satisfied in this world, if you're going to be fulfilled, if you're going to have the fullness of God, if you're going to fight for it and say, I want to be satisfied in this world, not from the things of the flesh, but things of the Spirit, and Jesus, fill me up. He says, you got to fight for his character and say, I'm content with it. He is who he is. I accept who he is. And it passes knowledge because I can't quite understand all of it, but I know I got it. The satisfaction. To be who God, to accept God who he is, not who we want or make him to be. You got to be content in the church, be content with his character. Number three, and lastly, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13. You got to be content in your cause. In your cause. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. And this verse, man, I juggled in my head because I couldn't quite get it. Man, I was begging God, God, what are you trying to do right here? Because I just could not get it. It's just one of those things. You're just, I can't land that fish, man. And look at verse 13. Let me show you what it says. Till he come, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He fills the fullness of Christ. He fills, but he's also the one. He fills you, but he's also the one he's filling you with. That's the fullness of Christ. And this one, I couldn't get that. The measure of the stature. I'm like, what? Okay. Stature is just how tall we are. Y'all know the verse in Matthew said, how many of you can add, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? Y'all remember that verse? How tall you are. So I'm like, what is he saying here? I mean, this is my struggle. You're seeing what I've done for the past 3, 4, 5 days right here. Just, what have you done, God? I don't know what that means. And so this is what he's saying. Ready? He wants you to measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so watch. Your cause on this planet is not what you say it is. It's what he wants to make you. And if you're ever going to be satisfied, you're ever going to be full, if you're ever going to be fulfilled, you've got to come to a place where you say, not my will, but thine be done. And then he said, then you'll measure up to that stature of the fullness of Christ. What does it say right before that? Look at verse 13. Look at it. Unto a perfect man. Now the word perfect, if you study it in Scripture, it means complete. The Bible says in Colossians, you are complete in him. So watch this. What is this? This is you are the potter, I am the clay. God, you want to mold me and make me. But wait, no, Will, I've had my plans. God, I've got my own plans. I've got my own reason for why I'm here. And God says, you'll never be satisfied if that's your attitude. You got to have a cause beyond that to say, you're the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me. However you want to mold me and make me. I'll measure up to that stature of Christ. I'll be this perfect man, complete in him. And Jesus, if all I have is you, that's all I need. Be content in the church. Be content with his character. Be content in our cause. That'll bring us satisfaction in this life. I'll leave you with this thought. The God of glory. Ready? He's awesome, right? He's great, all right? The God, the Almighty, all-powerful, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. Now, we need satisfied and fulfilled because we're empty, right? Does God need satisfied? Isaiah chapter 53. Turn over there. Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm done, I promise. Unless you, like, tell me to preach more. And I'll preach more, okay? But I won't, all right. Isaiah 53, I want to show you this, and I'm done, I promise you. Remember, there's a fight for fullness. Isaiah 53, verse number 11. God shall see of the travail of his soul, Jesus, and shall be. The same God that says the fullness, who I am, will satisfy you by the person of Jesus Christ. Listen, says, that's how I'm satisfied too. By the person of Jesus Christ. The God of heaven. The God of heaven, who needs not, it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, all they that and them that dwell therein. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. If I needed something, I wouldn't need to get a hold of you for. And the same thing that satisfies you and me says it satisfies him. I would say Jesus Christ is fulfilling. I would say Jesus Christ is the fullness of God. I would say Jesus Christ is the satisfaction you have been longing for, but may have not known it to this point. Praise His holy name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You so much for Jesus.